I'd like to look in the book of Joshua again. Joshua, the first chapter. And we read some of this last week. But they're getting ready to go into the land of Canaan. Moses has passed away, according to verse 2. And the Lord is speaking now to Joshua. And they know they're supposed to go in and possess this ground, this land. In verse 3, he says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." And I like to liken that unto our faith. Moving forward, stepping forward in what the Lord has for us and the land, the spiritual ground. Thank you, Brother Galen. The spiritual ground that God wants us to be able to possess. The Lord wants us also to possess. And if we can get our faith on it, step on it. And I noticed in one of the battles they had, I think it was five kings. Anyway, Joshua, they had these kings captive. They overcame their armies, but Joshua told them to put their foots on their neck. And he said, "This is what the Lord is going to do for you." And I guess they did. They were on the ground. They put their foot on their neck, was a symbolism of overcoming. But the Lord wants to challenge us in our faith to be. And the song, I've always enjoyed the song "Living by Faith," but it says, "Trusting and confiding in His great love." Believing and trusting and confiding in the love that God has for us. "And every place that the sole of our foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you." And another promise down in verse 5, he said, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." You know, the Lord has promised us, I don't believe this is really for the New Testament, really referring to a literal land, but He has promised us victory in our spiritual lives, in our spiritual battles and journey of life. He's promised us victory, given us, and that's the land that He holds for us, that we want to take possession of and inhabit. I haven't arrived to the place where I'm never alarmed. Sometimes I see things that alarm me, that concern me, but my spiritual feet are headed in that direction. The Lord wants us. And the way He spoke to Joshua here, because they were going to have battles to fight, they were going to have enemies, there were great walled cities, and He's trying to encourage Joshua in verse 7. He says, "Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." And verse 9, He reiterates, He said, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Now they were getting ready to fight. We know Jericho was a great city, and they were getting ready. They were facing Jericho, and they had gone over the Jordan River. The Lord miraculously stopped the waters and helped them to pass over on the Jordan. But he's telling them these things because there's a purpose, there's a reason. And it's because many times when we see, we're affected by what we see so much. We live in this world, we see things that happen, we're affected. Our faith many times is affected by the things that we see, and it was going to be affected by what they saw also. And that's why he told them to be strong and of a good courage. And I believe the Lord wants us to be that way too, to be strong and of a good courage. And be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. This word, dismayed, it means to break down by violence, confusion, or fear. Amaze, to discourage. And that's what the enemy likes to do to God's people, especially when we're moving and we're wanting to gain the ground that God has for us and wants for us. The enemy is going to try to contest what God is doing. He'll put up a fight. And I know not long ago it seemed like I got down to pray, and it seemed like I all these thoughts just was bombarding my mind and my heart, my spirit, and I just there was accusations and things, and at first I didn't realize what was going on. I was just struggling in my heart and my mind. Have you ever been there? And then I started reading in my journal, and I saw, you know, I put down some things I thought where the Lord had given me some things, and I said, well, the Lord blessed me there. Turned a few pages more over, and, you know, the Lord helped me there. The Lord gave me that. A few pages more, and, you know, the Lord's been helping me. And the devil is like that. And he's so, his arguments are so subtle. They're so, they can seem so reasonable and so plausible, and yet at the same time we're losing our hold of faith. We're losing our courage. We're losing our strength. And then I just woke up. That was the devil. That was the enemy that was attacking me. And we need to recognize his devices and to keep our courage and our strength in the Lord. But there are things that affect our faith. The things that we see can greatly affect. And we recognize that when the disciples were on the boat with Jesus, and the storm was raging, and they thought they were going down. They thought they were, and they were seasoned fishermen. I'm sure that's not the first time they had been in a storm, so it must have been pretty severe if they were afraid and they woke up the Lord. They said, don't you care that we perish? And it was no big thing to him. He just said, peace, be still, and the waves were calmed. So they were affected by what they saw. And we need to realize that too, that sometimes there are going to be things that we see that will affect our faith, and we want to make a mental note in our mind, in our heart, in our spirit, and recognize that the Lord, we're going to see things that are contrary, things that are disappointing, things that would want to discourage and hinder us. But we want to keep our faith. I wanted to read just a little bit of Hannah Smith. She had She made this comment in one section. She says, the power of temptation is in the fainting of our own hearts. The power and strength of temptation is in the fainting of our own hearts. The enemy knows this well, and he always begins his assaults by discouraging us if he can in any way accomplish it. And that's why I believe he told Joshua to be strong and to be of good courage. Another thing that can hinder us is our feelings, our human feelings and emotions in our life of faith and living for God. And she makes a few comments on this I wanted to read. She says, cease to consider your emotions, for they are only the servants, and regard simply your will, which is the real king of your being. Our feelings and our emotions, they're a good thing when everything's going well. But sometimes the bottom can drop out in our feelings, and I believe the devil can also affect our feelings and our emotions. He can bring things that affects that, and we can, you know, feel like God is not there. And I think most of us have been there at a time or two, or many times we felt like God has not been there. Maybe we haven't seen. Maybe we're struggling with something. Maybe there's something that's coming against us, and it just, but we believe. Faith is believing against what my feelings and my emotions are telling me. It's believing in the promises of God, trusting in the promises. It said, trusting and confiding in His great love. I continue to believe in the love of God. And I think about Job and his trials and difficulties. The devil just tried to flood him and overwhelm him. All those things that came against him in one day was just trying to overflood him and trying to take him out. But Job, he didn't know what was happening. He didn't know where all this was coming from. He didn't understand it. But he kept believing and he kept trusting in God. And the Lord ended up bringing him out into a wealthy place. She makes another comment. She says, how many souls at this very moment is there nothing but confusion simply because the feelings are allowed to govern instead of the will? And she makes a statement. She says, here it is. Says, I am convinced that throughout the Bible, the expression concerning the heart do not mean the emotions, that which we now understand by the word heart, but they mean the will, the personality of the man. Now, I know when I got married to my wife, I was a happy man. my facial muscles were tired of smiling. I mean, they were sore from smiling. I was excited. I was, she said, I do, kind of like Rebecca. I'll go. And it was a wonderful time. But you don't live on the honeymoon forever. The honeymoon doesn't last forever. You have to come back home. You have to go to work. You have to step into the routines of life. And that's the way it is in our spiritual. You know, sometimes people, when they first get saved, they just, and I've had experiences that way too. I felt so much peace and rest in my heart. It's just like, wow. I didn't know this could be existed. But then when it's time to go to work, when the honeymoon is not there, people begin to question, you know, what happened? What did they do wrong? And it's we can't live in the clouds all of life. We can't live on high emotions all of life. And that's not what makes a good marriage. I don't have to feel good. I don't have to it's not my feelings and my emotions that make my marriage happy, but it's my choice and my decisions. It's my will, the choice that I've made. And that's not to say that there can't be other honeymoons and things like that. There is. God provides those nice times and those things like that. But our emotions and our feelings can sap us of our faith if we're not careful. And we want to hold on to the promises that God has given to us, to believe in them and to trust them and to give ourselves to them. Here's another little reading she had. This was his name was William Hill. She quotes him. He said, I knew also that I must believe that God did accept me and did come to dwell in my heart. I was conscious I did not believe this, and yet I desired to do so. I read with much prayer John's first epistle and endeavored to assure my heart of God's love to me as an individual. He said, I seemed to have no power to overcome. But Christ was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, and it was clear that he was working. I was enabled, therefore, to believe that God was working in me to will and to do while I was working out my salvation with fear and trembling. He goes on, he says, I felt shut up to a momentary dependence upon the grace of Christ. I would not permit the adversary to trouble me about the past or future. The devil likes to do that too. He likes to drag up the past failures. For I each moment looked for the supply of that moment. I agreed that I would be a child of Abraham and walk by naked faith in the Word of God and not by inward feelings and emotions. You know, I want to say something here that I kind of felt, that I have felt and thought in my life, and it was like I had to have, to really have prayer, I had to have an emotional prayer. And if you would have said that to me, I probably would have thought it was kind of ridiculous, but in the back of my mind, that's what I always thought. And in my prayers, I would always seek for that emotional high and that emotional, you know what I'm talking about. But that's not necessarily, we want to pray earnestly, but I don't have to have an emotional prayer for God to hear. You know, in Jesus, one place, he talked about prayer. He said, you're not going to be heard by your much speaking. Don't use vain repetitions, because you're not going to get God's notice by vain repetitions. And he taught us to pray just a simple prayer. And that's all it has to be, is just a prayer of faith where we believe that God is going to help us, that He's going to strengthen us, that He's going to supply our need. But He said here, walk by naked faith in the Word of God and not by inward feelings and emotions. I would seek to be a Bible Christian. Since that time, the Lord has given me a steady victory, which before things had enslaved me. I delight in the Lord and in His Word. And I believe that's what God I delight in my work. My fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I am a babe in Christ. I know my progress has been small compared to that of many. My feelings vary, but when I have feelings, I praise God and trust in His Word. And when I am empty and my feelings are gone, I do the same. Isn't that wonderful? We can praise God and thank God when our feelings are good, and when our feelings are empty and there's no feelings there, we can still thank and praise God. What's more valuable? To me it looks like it's kind of easier to praise God when everything's going my way. And it's more of an exercise and more of a strength to praise and thank God when things are not going my way and not going my direction. To me, that's an odor, a sweet smell of odor to the Lord, if we can do that. That I can still praise God and thank Him when my feelings are empty and when it feels like maybe that God is not there, or God is not answering prayer, I can still thank the Lord for His goodness and His mercy to me. These things, I want to encourage, this is in the Christian Secret of a Happy Life. This here book is kind of, but it's one of the greatest. If you haven't read this book, you need to read it and reread it and reread it. It's wonderful. It's a great work how she took the scriptures and helps us to recognize some of the obstacles to the life of faith and living for Jesus. She brings it out very good. It's an older book, but I have read it in it many, many, many times and have been so blessed by it. The Christian Secret of a Happy Life. I want to go to Isaiah 59. I believe when the Lord begins to, this is something too that I've seen, when the Lord begins to lead us, the enemy is going to do what he can to fight against the Lord leading us. In Isaiah 59 and 19, let's see if that's the one. Yeah, it says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." I believe the Spirit of the Lord will give us, He'll bring songs to our mind, He'll bring scriptures to our mind, but the Lord wants us to use those things. That's using the shield of faith in our spiritual battle. The Spirit of the Lord will give us something if we'll not allow the flood just to overflow us, but if we can just grasp faith, one little verse, one little scripture, and stand and hold to that when our feelings are telling us that it's not real, that it's not true, and hold on to it, God will bless and help us. He said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the devil likes the flood. There in Revelations, we have that picture of the dragon cast the flood to the woman, and it was to carry her away, to destroy her. But it said the earth opened up and swallowed the flood. And the Lord will help us when the enemy comes in like a flood upon us. We want to be able to hold to God in those times. And the Lord can help us. And I remember reading about Doubting Castle and Pilgrim's Progress. And I've been in Doubting Castle more times than I would like to admit. But Giant Despair would come and beat Pilgrim every day. And I saw on my phone, I didn't read it, but it showed this lady. She had a black eye, and you could tell she had been severely beat. Her face was swollen. And that's what happens in Doubting Castle when we allow the devil, Giant Despair, Giant Discouragement, to take. You know, we don't see anything on the outside, but emotionally, inwardly, we have black eyes. Inwardly, our face is swollen. Inwardly, the struggle is very, very real. But Christian had the key of promise in his bosom, and he'd forgotten about the key of promise. He didn't realize he had had it because of the flood, because of the devil that was coming against him. And he opened up the door. He was able to get out of Giant Doubting Castle, and Giant Despair wasn't able to catch him. But that's a real scenario. That's a real... Doubting Castle is a real thing in our spiritual journey. John Bunyan, that wrote Pilgrim's Progress, did very well in putting that in, because it's real. It's very real to life. Giant Despair. But there's a key of promise. We have the Scriptures, and we have the Word of God to help us, to free us, and to strengthen us. In Isaiah 40, the 41st chapter, this is one of the Scriptures Brother Galen tried to remind us of so many times. He hasn't reminded us lately, so I'll remind us. Isaiah 41 and 10. He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed." Here's that word dismayed again. It means to be discouraged or amazed or crushed down. "For I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing." And he says, in verse 13, "For I, the Lord God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. And thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff." Here we have the promise of the Lord helping us and strengthening us. But the message is kind of the same as it was in Joshua. Be strong, fear not, be not dismayed. I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. But there are times that we need to take a stand against the enemy, the wiles of the devil. We need to tell the devil that I'm not going to accept this anymore. Tell the enemy that I'm not going to... Once we recognize it's the enemy, Lord, help us to resist, because that's what the Scripture teaches us. It says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." You know, the devil will take everything that we're willing to give him. He'll keep on. But if we resist him in the name of the Lord and fight against him, we can have the victory that God, the land that the Lord wants us to have. There's one more
I think I read that one, Psalms 51. Now here's one, Psalms 51, verse 12 and 13. It says, I am the he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy maker, that has stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? But he's reminding them, he said, and forgettest the Lord. You're forgetting the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that's laid the foundations, that has made everything and is feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. We don't want to forget the Lord, and we don't want to forget his power, his greatness, and he's able to see us through. He wants us to be encouraged in him, and I trust this morning that we're all encouraged. I don't know all the situations that are facing us in our individual lives, but I want to encourage to keep stepping forward in faith. We don't have to take all the ground at once. He said little by little, just take little steps towards God, towards what he wants you to do and the things that you believe that he wants you to do. Take little steps towards him, and pretty soon, you know, when you look at a task, sometimes things can look just overwhelming, you know, and sometimes you don't even know where to start. There can be such disarray and disorganization, and you don't hardly know where to start. But if you just take one little thing, you know, there's a saying that says that life is hard by the yard, but by the inch it's a cinch. If we just take the little inch, the one thing, and move our foot, our faith, in that direction, the Lord will help us. He'll be there to bless. And then after a while, it looks like, I know sometimes it can be discouraging to think, well, I don't feel like I've gained the progress that I'd like to in my spiritual life. But if we just continue to take little steps, after a while, you've made some distance. It didn't look like much. You know, when they were trying to build the walls of Jerusalem, Sanballat and his people come up and he said, "What are you feeble Jews trying to accomplish?" And he belittled them. He tried to, and that was just like the devil. He was trying to. And it didn't look like much was happening, but day in and day out, the little, it adds up. It adds up. It adds up to much. That's the way investments are. Sometimes it's just little investments that over a long period of time has gains to it. Despise not the day of little things. Despise not the small things. Because God works in and through that. When we think it's just something small, insignificant, be faithful, because God will bless and multiply it, and it will increase. I just thank the Lord this morning for His Word and for the promises that He's given to us, the tools that He's given to us to be able to fight the good fight of faith and to live by faith and trust in God, and He's able to lead us in our lives. And I thank Him so much for what He's done and for what He is doing. I've been tempted myself in my life to get discouraged with my progress.
spiritually. But the Lord doesn't tire out like that, like we do. The Lord is faithful to His promise, and He'll help us. As we lift our hands and our heart up to Him and seek Him, He'll see us through, and He'll help us, and He'll bless us, and it'll be wonderful what the Lord does. We can obtain, He has promised us spiritual victory in our lives. We can be overcomers, and we can have power over all the power of the enemy. You know, Galen mentioned this morning in Sunday school about the promise to Abraham, and the thought came to me is, well, we got great promises, actually probably greater than what Abraham had. The promise, you know, he was promised that ground, that land, but we have so much more promised to us through the Holy Spirit, so much more available to us than what Abraham had. So I'm thankful today for God and for all that He's done.